Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey, good morning. My name is Matt. I'm the pastor here. It's good to see all your beautiful faces today. Man, I couldn't believe it, but you got cuter. Well, this side of the room got cuter. Yeah. I mean, I see what I see. Last week, we started a series on the Holy Spirit. Everyone say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
If you speak Spanish, can you say Espíritu Santo? Did I say it right? Man, I'm such a white guy. Donde está el baño? Is that good pronunciation? Nailed it. This is why I don't go to Mexico often. Last week, we started a series on the Holy Spirit, and it's really exciting for me to talk about something like this. And we learned that the Holy Spirit isn't distant and impersonal, but the Holy Spirit's intimate, and the Holy Spirit's alive, and the Holy Spirit is a person, and a person deserves a relationship, and relationships take time to foster and grow. And that's why I think sometimes we go, man, God, where are you? I can't hear you. You know, things get messy and things get cloudy. And likely one of the reasons why things get messy and cloudy in your relationship with God is that you haven't fostered a relationship. The same way with your spouse, if you're not talking, communicating, sharing about life, at some point you're like, I don't really know you right now. And that's because you're not building and fostering and investing in a relationship. So we can do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We can have a relationship with God that way. We learned that the Holy Spirit is four things, and I'm just giving you the Cliff Notes version, okay? The Holy Spirit is really four things, and the Holy Spirit in Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Everyone say helper.
Helper.
And the Greek word for helper here, it really means called beside. Isn't that a great, great picture that the Holy Spirit has been sent for us and called beside us? So those feelings of being alone and doing life all by yourself, they're not actually accurate, because when you have a relationship with God, you have this God that has been called beside you in life. And that's really reassuring for me, because I oftentimes feel lonely and isolated, and those are just actually lies. They're actually not true, because the Scripture teaches, and this is really beautiful, but he teaches that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell and abide with us. I mean, these are words of intimacy and closeness. The Holy Spirit really is closer to me than any of you could ever be, because God is alive inside of me, and this speaks to the access I have with God. And so I don't know what your tradition is, like where you were raised, or what your church experience was. Like maybe you went to a church where somebody had access to God, but it sure wasn't you, right? I don't know if you have a Catholic or whatever your background may be. You may have been raised in such a way that in order to have access to God, you need to be a certain way, and you need to talk to the right person at the right time. But really what happens, and I can get a little bit church history kind of thing here, but in this Reformation, the Catholic Church had this kind of gap where this guy Martin Luther, he just realized that there is a problem here with the way that they're doing church, that there's an opportunity for access to God, that actually the Scriptures should be made available to us and you and I, so we don't have to have a go-between, the priest or the pastor or the bishop, whatever you want to call it. You just actually get to go straight through. You don't have to call through anybody. You have like access. And I think that's really helpful. So he is our helper. And man, how many of you need help sometimes? Help, I need somebody. Yeah, that's like my life. The second thing we learned about the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And I love that Scripture teaches that he will lead us into all truth. Because I think we tend to believe lots of lies during the week, and lies that were said about you, or lies that maybe the enemy kind of like whispered into you, you know, that you're a failure or you're this or that. And you hear them enough and you start going, hey, that sounds pretty accurate. That's a lie. And I love that the Holy Spirit is here inside of me to help me decipher what's truth and what's fact and what's fiction and what's lie. And I think you can only know that when you really know what the voice of God sounds like for you. Because I'm trying, guys, to really know what God sounds like for me. But I know enough of what God sounds like for me so that I know what he doesn't sound like. Does that make sense? I know enough of what God's voice sounds like so that I know he doesn't sound like. And so instead of trying to hear what the devil sounds like, I just want to really have a tuned ear for what God sounds like. And I tell you what he sounds like. He sounds like his word. He really does. He really does. I mean, this is just crazy, but this is probably the number one way that God speaks to me. Because I'm just dull and I need it like on a page. So if you come to me and you say, Pastor Matt, I'm really having trouble hearing the voice of the Lord, I'd say, what is the last thing you read in your Bible? And if you're like, I don't know if I have a Bible, I lost my Bible, it's got an inch of dust on the top of it, therein lies one of your big problems. The third thing we learned, be ready, front row, I'm throwing stuff. It's like a Gallagher concert here, you know, don't show. Gallagher, right? Breaks. Okay, thank you. Sometimes my jokes only hit two of you, but it's worth it. The third thing we learn about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. That means that it isn't your job to convict people of sin. So if you feel like you're really good at that, then you're really good at a really bad thing. I know people like that who just are really good at kind of measuring your sin.
Come on now.
I don't call those people very often. Because it's actually not our job to measure the severity of someone's sin. It's actually our job to love them and pray them through it. Because I think you just own it different. So if you feel like God has sent you to this earth that you can convict people of sin, I you need to go back to the Bible and just see if that's really accurate. So anyways, there you go. So next time you try to convict someone of their wrongdoing, just know that you are actually working for the wrong team in that moment, okay? Number four, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and the Holy Spirit comes to bring us peace that surpasses all understanding. Have you ever seen someone going through a really hard time, but they just have this peace about them through it? I mean, that is God at work. And we are a church, and over this last week, we have just experienced lots of loss. Diana passing away, Jerry this afternoon. There's just hard things going on, and I tell you what, I feel deep empathy and sorrow in those moments, but I get through it. And I get through it because I know the Comforter is alive and well inside of me. Yeah. So I don't have to draw on my own abilities. I mean... Those of you that know Jerry Thomas and Lance, I mean, is it odd that I'm not afraid at all to be by her bedside later? I'm just not afraid. Because I know this, that the peace of God is most brilliant in the middle of loss and sorrow. So I'm actually stepping into an environment where I am so ill-equipped, but God is so mighty in that moment. I got to sit with Jerry, and I've been going up and visiting her at the hospital a lot, and been able to just really love her well. And she's got all the tubes and the breathing machine, but I got to lean up against her bed and just read Psalm 23 over and over to her, because she told me before, a couple weeks ago, that was her favorite chapter. So I read Psalm 23 over and over, and I just sang into her ear. I mean, that was just a beautiful thing for me. Yeah. And here in a couple hours, I get to be by her bedside, and I'm going to do the same thing. And I know the Comforter is there. And her daughters and her husband, I hope they feel it too. In the middle of big loss and big sorrow, that the Comforter of the Holy Spirit is so tangibly there. So I get to step into that meeting later just with tremendous expectancy. my eyes are sweating again. After I preached the sermon last week, the topic was, what is the Holy Spirit? And I was processing with grace and seeking some verbal affirmation after I preached. And you know how you do that sometimes? So how'd I do? How was that? And I was asking her, what about the sermon? And she said, so the title was, what is the Holy Spirit? But you talked all about the Holy Spirit being a person. Wouldn't a better title have been, who is the Holy Spirit? And she was totally right. Because when we talk about what is the Holy Spirit, the what is just a thing. And we're not talking about a thing when we talk about the Holy Spirit. We are actually talking about a who. So if you happen to listen to the podcast, just read it differently. It's who is the Holy Spirit? That's a better title. And wouldn't it just be common that Grace is right? Today we want to talk about, and I want to answer this question for you. And the question is this: why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? And this question really comes from us humans that tend to be pretty self-reliant. Why in the world would I need the Holy Spirit? I got this. You know, that's kind of our human nature. I don't need any help. I got this. You know, by nature, we don't want to be helped. We don't want to get directions. We don't want correction. We don't want to be looking or appearing that we're super needy. We're self-reliant more than we're interdependent. I'm going to say it again. We're self-reliant more than we're interdependent. And we were made to be dependent on God, yeah. Not self-sufficient and then checking in on Sundays. But none of you would ever. Until we realize that we need the Holy Spirit, we never really pursue the Holy Spirit. You know, I've got a phone with a perfectly functioning GPS function on my phone, right? Just about all your phones do this. I have a phone that will give me great directions, but I am so self-reliant, I only get it out and put in the address once I'm lost. Right? I've got it at my fingertips, and Grace gets so furious at me because I'll look up the address and I'll like eyeball, well, okay, so I know where these cross streets are, I can get there. And then I will finally get my phone out and like push the direction. I'll do all the steps, putting the address in, zooming in, everything, but I won't actually hit the direction button until I am lost. Because I'm self-reliant. Because I want to get someplace and I want a pat on the back. Good job, Matt. That's amazing how you got there. I don't want to give Siri any credit for me getting where I needed to get got. You, see, the thing is I've got access to my iPhone and I've got access to directions, but I'm not always taking advantage of it. The same would be true here with the Holy Spirit. We all have access, but we're not always taking advantage of it. So you have the Holy Spirit, which is just itching to speak to that part of your life, and the Holy Spirit's just itching to give you direction or correction or to bring you some encouragement. So you've got all the access in the world, but you need to live in it, okay? You need to take advantage of it. The Holy Spirit makes real, vibrant, thriving relationships possible, and not only your relationship with God, but also your relationship with others. Will you turn to Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Luke chapter 10, verse 27, this is Jesus talking, and he says, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is inviting us to love God and love others passionately. Love God and love others. Jack Hayford, and he was a Foursquare pastor up in Van Nuys, and Jack Hayford writes this. He says, expect the Holy Spirit to work in your life by bringing you into new dimensions of loving, serving, obeying, worshiping, honoring, and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. He says, expect, everyone say expect. Expect the Holy Spirit to work in your life by bringing you into new dimensions of loving, serving, obeying, worshiping, honoring, and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the great questions that someone sent in to me as we got ready for this series is, how do you know when you've been filled with the Spirit? And that's a really great question. And I want to tell you that if you're moving in new dimensions of loving, serving, obeying, and worshiping and honoring Jesus, the Spirit of God is at work in your life. You should at some point be able to take a little bit of spiritual inventory and say, am I loving God better? Am I honoring God more? Am I worshiping God more tenderly? And thank you, buddy. I'm really going to miss this about you. my water boy. You should be growing in this area. You should be able to sometimes just pause and say, hey, am I loving God better, more effortlessly now than I was a year ago? And if not, then I would say maybe the Holy Spirit isn't actually working in you, because you should be growing in those areas. I don't want to look at anybody because people are looking around, but it's so frustrating to be a pastor sometimes and to see people just in this spiritual rut for years. People don't want, you know, I'll look up here so no one's think I'm looking about talking about you, but I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, you're just in this rut and you cannot get out, but you just keep doing the same thing over and over again and you're getting the same results. So I just tell you, like, if the Spirit of God is living and active inside of you, then you should be maturing in some ways, not becoming more immature. And can I tell you, with Matt and Alexa, it's a picture of maturity. It wasn't easy to call me and say, Pastor Matt, we're going to need to find a church closer to our home. They could have bailed and disappeared, and we would have all felt the pains of their disappearance. But maturity is, I'm doing the hard thing. I'm going to honor God by doing it the right way. And I'm just so super excited for you if you change your mind. But the second part of it is that we should be growing in dimensions of loving God. But on the other side of it, we should be loving others. In Galatians chapter 5, this is the fruit of the Spirit. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This should be the fruit of your life. But here, don't expect to be perfectly doing all of these, because hello, the minute you say you are perfectly patient, you're going to get a flat tire. You know, something's going, your water heater's breaking, something's happening. So just don't go there. Don't expect to be perfect in all these, in any of these ways, but just, you should be like the other ones. You should be experiencing some growth. You should be, as you are in relationship with God and the Holy Spirit is doing things in your life, you should say, man, I am loving people better than now than I was a year ago. Man, I am actually experiencing more joy or more peace. I am actually becoming more patient, more kind, experiencing goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. These things should be, you're never going to get like you're just a rock star at any one of these, but you should be showing some forward momentum in them. You can be confident that the Spirit of God is at work in your life when you're growing in your love for God and your love for others. So that's one good way to indicate, like, are you actually, is the Spirit of God active in your life? My question would be, are you loving God more than ever before? Are you loving others more than ever before? Those two things can kind of be the blocks to the Spirit working in your life. You can have a career without the Holy Spirit, but you cannot have a career that glorifies God without the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Here we do this one. You can have a marriage without the Holy Spirit, but you can't have a marriage that glorifies God without the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You can do church without the Holy Spirit. But you can't be a church that glorifies God without the Holy Spirit. You just can't. So the Holy Spirit is required to do these sorts of things. You know, I met with a couple this week, and they were really great. They needed some marriage counseling, and they're from a family that none of you really know, but they got referred to me, and I sat with them, and they've talked to professionals, like people that went to school for counseling. They know big words. And so I met with them, and I was like, I'll give you an hour, and we'll just see what we can do. But at the end of the day, I just looked at them, and I said, listen, all I can offer you guys in your marriage is I can introduce you to Jesus. Because for me, the thing that keeps my marriage together isn't anything that I could do. The thing that keeps my marriage together is the glue of God, right? So I just like scratch my head and I'm like, how do people have marriages without God? How would you? Because I'm not always like lovable. I'm so thankful that God is part of this keeping her attached to me. Because she tries to run. No, she doesn't. So I looked at this couple. I said, listen, if you need professional help, you maybe you do, but I can give you a phone number. But the only thing I can do to help you in your marriage is I can introduce you to God, because I think he's the only one that can help make this thing whole like it should be. So the only way to truly glorify God is with the Holy Spirit. And today, oh my goodness, we have so little time and so much to say. I'm going to go through the three P's of the Holy Spirit. The three P's. I'm making it super. Is that an alliteration? Yeah. See, I don't even know what it is, but I do it all the time. The three P's of the Holy Spirit. First of all, first, the Holy Spirit gives us perspective. Everyone say perspective.
Perspective.
One of the greatest blessings of the Holy Spirit in my life has been the new perspective that God has given me. You see, the Holy Spirit has helped me to see things differently than I saw things before. Imagine being colorblind your whole life and only seeing the world a certain way and not knowing. And I watched a couple more videos about this, but how your reds and your greens kind of get blurred and look very similar. But imagine for this boy in this minute, he puts his glasses on, he sees the world exactly as it should be, not as he's always experienced it. And when I saw this, I could not, I connected the dots really quick, but that is exactly what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. He took me from spiritual blindness to spiritual availability. Like he took my spiritual blindness. I had up to 20 years of my life only seen the world a certain way. I'd only seen it from my perspective, and I only saw the blurriness of the world. And I thought that's what everyone saw, but in a minute, when the Holy Spirit came into my life, it was like a new lens came over my eyes, and I got to see things the way God had intended them to be. And isn't that kind of your story too? Like at some point in life, you did life your own way, but you surrendered your life to God, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came alive inside you, and all of a sudden, you just step back, you're like, wait a minute, everything looks different. I used to have all this pain, but now there's this incredible peace that I'm feeling. I used to have all this anxiety and depression, but all of a sudden it's just floated away. It doesn't seem to matter anymore. I tell you, that's only by the power of God. And I'm preaching way too good for you guys as amens. When God, when I start a relationship with God, it's like the static just paused. And it was almost like I'd had that static for so long, I didn't know it was there. Kind of like if you have a baby in your house, you just don't hear the crying after a while. Everyone else does. But it's when the God came in my life, the static just paused. And I remember that it was like a foggy night, and it just went, the fog just went away. It was like the movie Matrix. It was like everything was going really fast. All of a sudden, everything slowed down around me. And I felt more comfortable, more confident. I was dodging bullets. But I think that those are things that the Holy Spirit does. It changes your perspective from one that's finite to a perspective that's really infinite. Because God's alive inside of you. The second P. So the first P was perspective. The second P is for power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. This is Jesus talking to disciples, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus knew that his disciples were going to need to tap into the same power that fueled his ministry, the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on him? And if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in him to do the things that God had for him, how much more do you and I need the Holy Spirit inside of us? Like, it's just crazy to think. Let me show you the difference of operating on your own strength and your own power and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're all visual here. So I need a volunteer. Patrick, can you come on up? And Matt Johansson, can you be my other volunteer? It's your last Sunday for a while. I'm going to embarrass you. Can these two handsome guys come up? So we're going to give a little bit of illustration. I want to show you the difference in operating by the power of the Holy Spirit and operating under your own strength. So we're going to have a little bit of a competition of sorts here. And let's go ahead and have Patrick use the circular saw. And Matt, you can stand back here and use the handsaw. Can you rev that up real quick for us? Okay, can you rev that up? Okay, good, heard that. And I just wanna see a little competition. You have some lines in a paper, just start sawing and just, we'll just see how it goes here. Okay, go ahead. Keep on going, Matt. Okay, that's good. Okay. Good job. Keith, can we thank our volunteers here? Well done. Oh, it smells like a wood shop in here now. I like it. These two different tools kind of represent two different ways of doing life. Your own strength. Or the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch out! And to function in your own strength, man, it takes a lot of work. You know, someone's out of breath here, and it's not Patrick. Lots of effort. Lots of sweat. But this is... And we do life like this, relying in our own strength, when all the while that we have access to the power of God, which is, it cuts smoother, yeah, with less effort, with less time. Come on. So... We really have a choice, which, how do we want to go about doing life? Your own effort, your own hard work, your own dedication, or are you just going to say, "What? Guess what? I'm just going to trade that in, and I want to be fueled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the life I want." You know, if I was having a contractor bid on a big job here at the church, and I've got two contractors, and one guy says, "You know what, I can do all the work for you, and I don't use any electricity, all hand tools." And I charge $60 an hour, and I just use hand tools. We're just doing it the old school way. And I have another contractor who says, "Oh, I use the best machinery, the highest technology, compressors, power equipment, everything, and I charge $60 an hour in labor." Would I be a fool to choose the guy who's just using hand tools? Would I be a good steward of the church's resources if I say, "Let's go that route. That sounds interesting. It'll take 16 years to build something." So it's pretty plain and obvious, right? The life that I want is the life powered by the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be mindful sometimes that am I doing this in my own strength, or am I relying on God's strength? And I want to be mindful of that, because I'm still going to put my hand to the saw sometimes and try to do stuff on my own. And I should think it through sometimes. Say, "You know, I got the saw right here. I could do it. But maybe if I take a time, I go get the circular saw out of the garage, I'm going to get a whole lot done, a lot faster, much less effort on my part. And a product I'm going to be way more proud of than the things I do by my own hand." Will that preach? The second P is for power. So we had perspective, we had power. The third P, and I'm skipping so many gems. The third P here is partnership. So we had perspective, we had power, and the third P is partnership. Now let me read you something here real quick. This is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, and they're trying to figure out what spiritual gifts mean to them. And it says this, this is a long passage, but stay with me. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone say, for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Say, everyone say wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge. Everyone say knowledge. According to the same Spirit. To another, faith. Everyone say faith. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. Everyone say healing. By the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Everyone say miracles. To another, prophecy. Everyone say prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Everyone say discerning of spirits. Okay, to another, various kinds of tongues. Someone say tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Okay. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions, he distributes to each one individually as he wills. So, there's one God, the giver of gifts, services, and activities. There's one God that gives gifts, services, and activities. And there's one primary purpose in this passage: for the common good of all. Now, let me help you get a visual to this. I will be standing as God because I have a beard. There's one God, and he has gifts that he distributes to us for the common good of others. So God has a Mr. Goodbar gift that he gives. What are the gifts again? Let me read them to you. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. He gives you one of those gifts. And he says, I'm God, I'm giving you this gift for the common good of somebody else. Can you go give that to somebody else? Who's Eitan's friend right now? Here, hand it off. We got more to do here. Again, I'm God, and I've got a gift to give to somebody for the common good of somebody else. God has given you the gift for the common good of somebody else. Aww. Let's do a couple more. God has given you the gift for the common good of somebody else. God has given you the gift to give to somebody else. Payday are my favorite, by the way. Again, God, one God, multiple gifts that he gives to us for the common good of somebody else. Enjoy. So you got to give it to somebody else. Pass it on. God gives the gift to somebody for the common good of somebody else. Pass it on. So the spiritual gifts that God gives us, they're not actually yours to hoard. They're yours to release. Okay? So when we say, Holy Spirit, I want every good gift you have for me. Yeah. The reason God is giving you the gift is so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Yeah. He's not just adding another tool to your tool belt. He's actually equipping you to give something back to somebody else. Right. And this is why we are always pursuing the Lord for more of his gifts. This is what I'm always praying for. I say, God, would all these lists of gifts, keep giving them? Because I'm not gonna hoard it. I'm not gonna hide it away. I'm gonna spend it quickly on somebody else. Because that's why he gives them to us. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? To get through traffic on the way to a Dodgers game. Why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Because it's like putting on new glasses. Because right now, you all look really attractive. No, but this is my life, I didn't get glasses until I was 20 years old. And when I put glasses on the first time, I was like, man, the world looks awesome. When God comes into our life, he puts new lenses on us from which to see the world. And now I see it the way it was intended to see. So the Holy Spirit gives us new perspective. And the Holy Spirit gives us power like the circular saw, not like the hand saw. We can be more efficient. We can get more done. We can accomplish more. We can be a better use of our time. And he gives us the Holy Spirit because he wants to partner with us. See, all the things that God wants to do in the world, God could do in the world without you. But he loves to do stuff with you. God loves to transform the earth, and he wants to use us. In other words, the earth will not be transformed and renewed if we don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying. Perspective, power, and partnership. Which of those three do you most need right now from the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you need God to give you a new perspective of your marriage, your work, your finances? Do you need new perspective of this world? Do you need new power? Do you feel like the handsaw? Do you feel like Matt was slaving away, working, just working hard and not accomplishing a lot? Maybe you need to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in life, and maybe you just need to start being used by God in a new way. I tell you my prayer. I say, God, give me every good gift you have for me. I say, God, give me every good gift you have for me. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to like it. I just know that as I receive the gifts that God has given me, I put them into action. He generously gives me something else. So good. And I want to be a conduit for God's grace, not conduit. Yeah. Yeah, a hindrance. I went to seminary, not real college. Which of those three things, which of those three P's would you say is super important to you right now? Perspective, power, or partnership. Raise your hand. Perspective, is that you? You need God's perspective. Some of you want all of them. That's okay. What if you need God's power? You raise your hand there. Okay, a lot of power. What if you want God's partnership? You want to partner with God? Okay. Can you grab your neighbor's hand really quick? Yeah, I got you. I got you. I'm coming to you. Well, God, we just pray for the person on our right. Is everyone holding a hand? Hold a hand, somebody. Come on. You can even interlock if you want. But God, we just ask, God, that you would do a miracle in our lives. God, that we would, even right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would start lifting the blockers from our vision, that we would start seeing the things the way that you do. So God, where there is spiritual blindness in us, we pray that, God, that your healing touch would happen right now. And then, God, we would start to see things the way that you see them, that you would fill us with peace and hope instead of fear and anxiety. And God, we come to you too, that we want to be filled with the power of your Holy Spirit. Power, Romans chapter 8 says, the power that raised Christ from the dead, it lives inside of us. So there's something erupting inside of our hearts. And so God, we pray that that would happen, that we would step out of operating under our own gifts, our own talents, and we would start relying on you, Holy Spirit. And God, for those of us that want to partner with you, God, I pray that your spiritual gifts would be made obvious inside of us. And God, gifts for words of knowledge and wisdom and miracles and tongues and all these things. These are gifts, God, that you've given us. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to have it figured out in our mind because, God, we believe and we trust that you're a good, good father. And so, God, you give good gifts to your children. We don't ask for bread and you give us a stone. No, God, you give us the good gifts we need. And God, I pray that we would have opportunities to exercise these gifts you've given us. So God, give us your perspective so we can see the needs around us and we can start meeting them. And so God, help us be a church that loves you. Help us be a church in our city that would be like a city on a hill. There, a light would shine from this place that people would find rescue. And so Jesus, we love you. And we say, Holy Spirit, come. Yes. Would you say that with me? Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, be the church, and we'll see you next Sunday and Sunday night. So double up next Sunday, old school.